This is the podcast of Theophilus Church. For more information, visit our website at theophiluschurch.com.
So tonight, we are going to be talking about prayer once again, and yet tonight we're going to be doing it a little bit differently than we normally do. We're going to be hearing stories from those within our community. So there's four people in this church who have been a part of this church for quite some time who are going to be sharing from their experience and from their heart about prayer and what prayer is to them and has been to them. I know from talking with many of us in this room and others in this community that starting in September when we announced that we're going to be going over prayer for this next month, some had some very strong emotions of excitement that, oh my gosh, you know, this is an area of my life that I've wanted to dive deep in, and it's about time. These are some of the words that I've heard you express. It's about time we go here, and this is so rich for me and enriching. And I've also shared in conversations with many who have had the exact opposite perspective of there's so much that is going on around this world, and we focus so much on our inward selves and what are we doing out there, and this is actually a point of deep frustration for me that this is where we're going as a community. And honestly, you might assume that that is probably a part of pastoral care that is deeply frustrating or whatever, but I actually think it's one of the beautiful and rich parts of our community is that we have in this room people with dramatically different stories and dramatically different perspectives and experiences with things that are core to our spiritual walk and journey. For me personally, in my life, prayer has really shaped my life in a way that I can't escape from. About 10 years ago, my wife and I were going to move to North Africa, and that was going to be our life. We sold everything that we had, and we went around the United States raising support to be missionaries in North Africa. And we got there. We arrived there. We were in the desert, and we were there for a couple months, and we were in this middle of nowhere in this desert hut, not knowing where we were going or what we were doing. The opportunity that was before us had closed, and we were in this tent, and we were just crying and asking God to give us direction. And it was during that time in this tent in the middle of nowhere that God gave my wife two visions that ended up shaping the trajectory of our lives. And there were visions that I won't go into them now, but they were inescapable for us. And you know, I can come back and I can share like, oh my gosh, God gave us these concrete visions that changed the trajectory of our lives and put us here and dramatically altered us in a positive way. And yet I know that there are stories in here where people have prayed for loved ones to be healed and that has not happened as you would wish, or you have prayed that God would give you direction and you haven't received the words that you had wished. And so internally, prayer, you know, we can get in this back and forth of, oh my gosh, prayer works for me and not for you. And so I just want to acknowledge that, but then that there's that tension here. But in that tension, I want to open up the space for us to rejoice in what God is doing in and through prayer and people in our community. And, you know, sometimes we can have this perspective that, you know, you have the professionals up here and we teach you everything that you need to know about prayer. And yet that's not exactly how it works. The people who are going to be sharing today have taught us deeply what it means to be people of prayer and have led our community in efforts of prayer internally and for our city. And so I'm really, really excited that we are all going to have the opportunity to hear from them today. There, like I said, there's going to be four people, and we're going to start with Andy Miller. And Andy has been just a breath of fresh air to our community, and really a backbone of prayer in our church. She is the type of person that literally alters her life schedule to join in corporate prayer, efforts of prayer throughout our city. If she hears of some people who are praying together for our city and in our city, Andy will wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to join them. And that's just who she is and her character. And she has called our community to that and led our community in that. And it is a privilege to be in community with her. And I'm honored to hear you talk. So Andy, would you come up and share with us?
Thanks, Cameron. So, AJ asked me a few days ago if I would be willing to share about prayer. And my first initial thought was, I have nothing to teach anyone. I feel like I'm the biggest learner of us all right now. But I'm just going to give you kind of a little bit of my story, specifically pertaining to prayer. So I became a Christian when I was about 16. My family wasn't part of the church. I wasn't raised in any sort of religious tradition at all. I kind of haphazardly bumped into a bunch of high schoolers at a club on my high school campus when I was a sophomore. And a bunch of them were my close friends, but I didn't know that they were Christians until they invited me to a Christian club on campus. I was horrified because at the time I was actually really, really bitter towards Christians. In fact, I would go out of my way to antagonize them if I met them, and I would generally put them on the spot and try to derail their faith by giving them really difficult questions. So I've always been a very analytical person, and I kind of figured, well, yeah, I might as well show up at this club and just see if they've got anything to teach me, because I doubt they do. And I found myself going to the Christian club on campus every Monday night for about a year, and slowly but surely just watching people unashamedly loving Jesus and just kind of watching them. And they didn't know I wasn't a Christian. I thought I was faking it really well by not saying anything. But it started to wear me down. And I had good friends who had kind of figured out that I was, you know, sneaking in and infiltrating. And they started giving me books to read. One of those books was Mere Christianity, which, you know, I've become a hardcore Lewis fan ever since. But finally, somewhere around the end of my sophomore year, I decided that I couldn't deny Christianity anymore. I didn't know exactly how I felt about the whole situation, but rationally, I had decided that it was the most logical, like, of all of the religions. So I, you know, kind of decided I could possibly become a Christian. I had more research to do. But somewhere in there, they were looking for new leaders for the next year, and they gave me an application and said, you're here every Monday, you play our games, like, you should be a leader at Christian Club on campus. And I'm like, little do they know, I just decided this Christianity thing was plausible like a month ago. So in hindsight, probably not a good idea to put me in leadership. Just, you know, theologically, I don't think I should have been leading anybody. But I was kind of fully plunged into this experience, being one of these 10 students that were leading this giant 200 high school club. And one of the biggest kind of questions I had was, what in the world was prayer? I didn't get it. I didn't understand logically what talking to God actually did or what it meant. Listening to how people prayed, I kind of tried to like mimic them. I remember going to Google and I typed how to pray. And I tried to find anything that could give me like a really clear-cut guide. Like, this is where you start. This is, you have to include these things in your prayer, and then you end like this. And I'm like, okay. I found some word studies on what the word amen meant, but that was about it. And I just was completely baffled by prayer. So for the most part, I took the idea of prayer. I kind of tucked it aside. I learned how to pray like everybody else, you know, a lot of like Father Gods in between all of my words. And for the most part, like, prayer was kind of the big part of my Christian walk that I just didn't get, because as a fairly rational person who relies more on my brain than my heart a lot of the time, I didn't know how to feel God was there. And when people got a little too feely with just sitting and soaking in God, I would get kind of weirded out and I would just duck out. So this was my walk for most of my Christian life. And years went by, and I had been a Christian at this point until I moved to Portland. And I started going to a church when I first moved here downtown, and one of the very first things they were preaching on was the Holy Spirit. And I said, we're going to take a month. It's going to weird a lot of you out, and we're just going to sit and talk about who is the Spirit. We never talk about the Spirit. We don't really talk about the work of the Spirit. And one of the big things that they were talking about was listening prayer. And the very first sermon they preached, I was really uncomfortable. But part of me thought, okay, this is the first time in a long time that I've been at a church and I've actually been challenged at something that I don't understand. And I've kind of come to this place, I had decided in my head, that I wanted to know what it meant to listen to God and to believe that I could actually hear him. So they had this fellow speak. He talked very specifically about hearing God's voice. And at the very end of the sermon, he had kind of challenged the congregation, like, if you believe that God can speak, it might be something small. It might be a small picture. It might be something really clear, like a word. Just trust and faith that God can actually speak to you. And just pray and ask for just God to speak. Don't come with any sort of expectation, just anything. And at the time, I had just asked this church if I could be part of a trip to go to Iraq, which is a pretty big step. I wanted to go for like a week and a half and serve with a school that they were serving there. And so I had just turned in my passport. And so this fellow finished preaching. I'm sitting there and I closed my eyes and I said, okay, God, speak something. And clearer than day, the very first thing that God said was, stay. And that was it. And I opened my eyes. Everybody else is still praying. And my only thought was, no. I was so upset because I knew that I had clearly had a word pop into my head, and it was quick. And I pulled out my little journal, and I just started writing. And it was like, stay where, God? Stay in this seat? Stay at this church? Stay in Portland? Just playing stupid. But in my head, I knew I was playing stupid, and I thought to myself, well, God, you know I'm playing stupid right now, too. But I don't want to. So I'm going to ignore you right now with the word that you've given me. Believe that it might have been you, and then just move on. The next Sunday, they were preaching, and they were talking about someone else being given a word or a picture and having enough kind of bravery to just take a chance and share it with somebody else in the room. Like, I feel like the person next to me needs to hear this. And I'm thinking, like, that's really weird. But again, I sat there and I listened. And at the end, similarly, they asked us to pray and listen and see if God had anything to say to us, and silence. And I was like, that's cool. And a girl I'd never met before afterwards, I was standing by the coffee. She walks over to me and she puts her hand on my shoulder and she said, I'm so sorry. I don't want to weird you out. I know I don't know you. But while we were all praying at the very end there, I really clearly felt like God wanted to say something to you. And I said, oh, okay. But intellectually, I'm thinking, yeah, right. Like, you've got nothing to say to me that'll make any difference to my life. So she says, well, there were two kind of words that popped into my head. And the first one was the word calm. And I'm like, oh, that could apply to anyone and anything. So yeah, whatever. And the second word she said was this word stay. And she said, and it was very, very clear. And the weird part was, it was like God was whispering the word calm, but then it was like he yelled the word stay. And of course, I'm standing there with my coffee cup, and I'm just like, what? Wait, what? And she's like, I don't know if that means anything to you, but like, you should pray about it. And then she ducks off to the bathroom. I just burst into tears. I've got nothing. I'm like, what just happened? I'm looking around like, did anybody else just see that? Like, I was prophesied over. And this was such a big deal for me because I had no way to explain it. I had no way to quantify it. It was just like me and the Lord. And poignantly, the sermon had been about the fact that God can like talk to someone and tell them something that you're not sharing. And I hadn't shared with anybody the fact that God had spoken to me. So I went home and I was just like, okay, God, what do we do with this? And I'd love to say that I was like, okay, I won't go on the trip. That's it, I submit. But it took like another week or so of me like getting even angrier and wrestling a lot. And I felt like some sort of teenager who, for the first time in my entire walk, and at this point, it's like I had been a Christian for 10 plus years, I had actually asked God to speak something and he said something I didn't want to hear. And I was not happy. I wanted to sneak out the window and go to the concert anyway. That's sort of a teenager rebellion. So kind of coming to terms with that, that was a really big deal because that started me on this journey of going, okay, God, I believe that you can talk. And I don't know what that means, but I'm willing to look at what it means to listen. And the more I would just sit, oftentimes with other people, because I found that I pray really well when just sitting in quiet groups of people, which maybe is a little odd, the more I would just come without any expectation and just wait to see if God would say anything. I found that most of the time my prayers had very little to do with me asking for things. It would usually start with just thank you. I would unload all of my thank you, anything that popped into my head, it was just like thank you. And then I would just sit and just listen. And I found that God gave me a lot of pictures, just kind of this overwhelming swirl of pictures. And I honestly thought it was just me being distractible. So I talked to people and said, do you get really distracted when you pray? And then someone explained that if you, you know, like see something and you think it means something, just like kindly offer it up and maybe someone in the group understands. And so after several times of doing that, found that God, on more than one occasion has encouraged me more than anything else. Maybe I have no idea what significance it has to the other person, what significance, but that he's actually shown up and spoken. But most of the time, it requires me to just be still and silent for a long time. So this church, they decided to do the January every single day of prayer. My first thought was, heck no, I won't wake up. I'm not a morning person. And I felt this very like kind of strong sort of conviction, like, why don't you want to wake up? You want to learn more about prayer? Like, oh, okay. And in that month of praying and just having an excuse to sit for an hour, and most of that hour, I wasn't the one talking at all. It was just kind of a murmur, an entire room about this many people just filled with voices, just quietly murmuring as somebody in this little circle that you're with is just praying something, truth, scripture. And I found myself kind of going into this place where I wasn't even listening to the other person in the circle. I was just in my head, just sitting and just kind of waiting to see if God had anything to say to me that day, because he had shown up so many other mornings that I just wanted to see if he was going to show up again. It was almost like my daily dose of faith, like, okay, God, I know you're there, but I need you to show me that you're there again. And several times, God just kept showing up. One time, he gave me this very vivid picture of one of the older men in the circle, and I felt like I saw the man drawing like in the sky. And then it reminded me of this really old hymn I heard this one time about this hymn writer saying that if all of the ocean was ink and if all of the trees and the forests were quills, it would take all of the ocean to write the love of God in the skies. And so I kind of was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I felt just really clearly like I was supposed to speak that over this man. So the very end, because usually I'm not very brave until the very end, that I feel like God has something to say to you. And I said, I feel like he's speaking over you, that you, like he's proud that you write his glory in the skies. And without a hitch, this guy knew every single word of that hymn, which was really cool. And so he said it all. And then afterwards he smiled and he said, I have something to show you. So he asked me to come outside with him after our prayer time was over. And he opened up the trunk of his car and there were a bunch of books. He's written 4 books. Because he's a writer. And for me, it was just so encouraging to be standing there and just laughing, like, of course you're a writer, because God told me that in my head. And I was brave enough to tell you that I saw it. And that follow-through not only encouraged him probably, but it encouraged me tenfold, because it's like, okay, I'm still not crazy. Because I'd say most of the time, it's just me trying to convince myself, okay, I'm still not crazy. Like, that actually might be you talking. So to end, I had kind of, AJ asked me to give you a to-do and some scripture, so I'm going to include that. But the scripture that I found was Isaiah 30:15, and is, by waiting and calm, you shall be saved. In the quiet and trust lies your strength. So I think more than anything, what I've found, and the reason that I've really just gained so much from taking an hour to just sit, sometimes very awkwardly, and just wait, is that I'd say for the first like half of it, I'm just waiting. And in that quiet, I feel like that's when God kind of allows me to get to the end of myself and the end of all my busy thoughts, and then begins to speak. And then my challenge would be to, if you're married, I guess you could do this with your wife or husband, if you have friends or roommates, or if you are the kind of person, unlike me, who is able to just sit quietly with yourself for a really long time, to take a chunk out of your morning and to just sit and to press into the awkwardness. I'm reading a book right now called Quiet, and it's really encouraging because it talks about this aptitude that we as a culture have to look at something like stillness, and our minds quickly associate it with boredom or the fact that we need to be doing something. But to just allow yourself to sit and press through the restlessness of being still and coming to that other side where you wait to see if God is speaking and then trust that it's his voice. Thank you.
Andy, you are a gift. Thank you. Next person is Aaron Kelsey. Aaron is on staff here at Theophilus. He has worked faithfully with our middle schoolers and high schoolers, and has poured out his life to kids in this city, to the marginalized. He's a dear friend and a great, incredible part of this community. Aaron, love you lots. Come share with us.
Hey, everyone. So I'll keep it simple because I am. So about 10 years ago now, I went to this men's group, and I came in hoping for and expecting acceptance, like good Jesus-y acceptance. And what ended up happening was the opposite. So I got this sort of surprise, like caught off guard, takedown, for lack of a better term. And so what ended up happening was, I was so riled up about this that I called up a couple of people, like a phone a friend type thing. So called a mentor and said, hey, like, meet me for coffee. I need to sort of process this. You know, what was this about? Like, what does this mean? So he talks it through with me. We met for a couple hours, and it didn't work. You know, I was still in the same place. Still in this like low, it felt rejected, wholesale, deep identity, personal rejection. So it lingered through the whole day, just hours. It was on my mind. So every interaction I had, I was still in that space. And so that night, I went to God in prayer, and it was good, and it was hard both. So just to give you a snapshot of how I think is, my strategy was that God would give me a way to go back in and kind of win rounds two. So I'd go back in and get that acceptance, right? So I was like, all right, God, how do I need to posture myself? What do I need to know? Who do I need to be to get into this group? Because it mattered to me. And so God spoke very clearly and said, I am the one who tells you who you are, not them. And that was it. And it, like I said, it was hard, because it sort of crushed my goal. And I had spent that whole day worrying about, like, well, what if I could get in? What if I could get, like, what if I said this? And what if I came back anyway? And so God was like, no. I have that role in your life. And so my point to you is two things. Be expert noticers. So notice your own self. So notice what you're feeling when you pray. Notice what you're thinking. Like if you go to a pretty good counselor, like, you know, half this community is counselors and social workers and whatnot, they'll walk you through what they call grounding or mindfulness. And really it's all about, like, what feeling are you feeling right now? So there's that piece. And then the other assumption that I would offer you is God isn't you, and you're not God. So God has his own thoughts and feelings and ideas, and he might not answer the questions that you're asking him. He might say something completely different. And so I would refer you broadly to just the book of Acts, Acts 2. So through the whole of Scripture, you had God show up and speak. And then at Pentecost, God started speaking in community, and he started speaking to all kinds of people, seemingly without exception. And so in the verse, there's this list of, you know, Egyptians, Macedonians, Cretans, Jews, all these different kind of people. And God spoke to them in their own culture and in their own language. So God can speak to you. And so point one, God can speak to you. Point two, there's only two points. Notice. Just notice your own self. Notice what you're feeling. Notice what you're wanting. So I came to God in this moment, and I wanted acceptance from other people, and that was my prayer to God. And God was like, no, I have a different idea for you. And it was a better idea, and it was, at that moment, it was life-changing. And also really hard, because I still wanted the first thing. So anyway, if you guys get nothing else from what I just said, God can speak to you. The trick is to notice. Notice deeply. Notice what you're feeling. Notice what you're thinking. Like, notice very, very deeply. In all the moments that I've had where I'd noticed God speaking to me, I was self-aware. I was aware of what I was thinking and feeling. I was in a quiet place where I could do that. I was thinking slowly. Like, I didn't have screens in front of me. Does that make sense? Okay, notice. All right, that's all I got. Thanks, everybody.
The next person we're going to hear from is Roseanne Paulson. And Roseanne has been here for a long time, 2012. She lovingly refers to herself as the auntie of Theophilus Church. So this is Auntie Roseanne. Roseanne leads a community life group in our community that meets on Thursday nights, where they pray in her home. And if you want to get connected with that group, you just go onto the page and find the picture of the cat, and that's Roseanne's group. And you can join her group that way. But she has been one of those who has been holding up our arms, so to speak, as a community behind the scenes by dedicating herself to a life of prayer. She often shows up early here and prays over this community. She's probably prayed for you. So she's a gift to us, and I'm excited to hear from you, Roseanne. So come on up.
When I was approached to speak, I thought, oh boy, this is just like those days in my college speech team when I was on the speech circuit competing. Competitive speaking, it's a thing, people. But AJ asked me what I was going to talk about, and so I did the thing that speech people do, and I went looking up some terminology. So I went to that bastion of knowledge, Wikipedia, to see what it said about prayer. And Wikipedia describes prayer as an invocation or act that seeks to activate a rapport with an object of worship, typically a deity, through deliberate communication. Wikipedia is not exactly wrong, but it's not quite right. While prayer is deliberate communication, the focus and purpose of prayer in a Christian's life is so much more than an exercise in recitation or a ritualistic undertaking. When asked to share tonight, I thought about what I wanted to share, and I came up with the conclusion that to me, prayer stems from a trust in the relationship between the Trinity and me. Inherent in that thought is that this is a trustworthy Trinity, and it stems from a trustworthy relationship with that triune God. But it wasn't always that way for me. A lot of you know that I grew up Catholic, very ritualistic, very much about recitation, about the supposed to's, and the Trinity was a mystery. First you had Father God, except he was this big scary dude with the big booming voice, and the only way you could get close to him was to go into that little scary box and talk to the man behind the mysterious curtain like the Wizard of Oz. And then you told him how bad you were, and he said, say 3 Hail Marys and 4 Our Fathers, and it didn't matter what you did, it was always the same. Now, Jesus was the guy we talked about at Christmas and Easter. He was the holiday dude. Hence, you have the term CEO, Christians, Christmas and Easter only. Now, the Holy Spirit, we used to call the Holy Ghost. That was very scary for a child and very confusing at Halloween. So what changed? Well, I was at a charismatic Catholic youth retreat. And up until that time, my relationship with God, the Trinity, was one of shame, desperation, feeling unworthy, being told in the Mass, Lord, I am unworthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. I didn't know how to get past that point. But I'm in that Catholic charismatic youth retreat. Yes, charismatic Catholic is a thing too. And one of the young men was giving us a speech about Jesus, the unconditional lover. And at the end of it, Matt said, you don't have to do anything. I love you. And my heart and my spirit for the first time said, yes, Lord. All those thoughts about the supposed to's and the have to's and you must do it this way and you have to do it 8 times in the morning and 3 times at night and you have to say these words and do it this way and you have to say the sinner's prayer or you're not saved, out the window. And it's been a journey ever since. And as I progressed and grew and learned more and shared with others, the relationship started to change. How did that happen? Well, I'd already said, yes, Lord, that's the first step. But then I started learning to think of myself the way God sees me. And I took these classes where they handed out these things by, who was it, Neil Anderson, who had that list of verses? Who I am in Christ. I am God's workmanship. I am the apple of your eye. You have made me in my mother's womb. All those truths started becoming real, started becoming a part of me. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, people. So speak life. And allow the Holy Spirit, that thing that you used to confuse with Casper, allow the Holy Spirit to bear witness with your spirit. If you're sitting down with someone like Andy was and you feel like the Holy Spirit is talking to you, it probably is. If you're starting to think about who somebody else says you are and you're not listening to God's voice, change the channel. Change the tuner. Get those words into your head, into your heart, into your mind, into your spirit. And if you need the list, let me know. I can get it to you. And then the other way I started to understand who God is in the Trinity and who I am is I started listening to others in the faith. Sometimes it was pastors. Sometimes it was teachers. Sometimes it was even songs. Okay, I'm about to quote some 1980s Christian contemporary music. Extra points to you if you know the artist. Tell me stories about the saints of old. Tell me about their faith. Stories like that make a boy grow bold. Stories like that make a man walk straight. Listen to the people in your community, in your life, whether they're older, whether they're younger, whether they are new Christians, whether they are older Christians, and listen to the stories they tell. Look to the heroes of the faith. David. I love David. Who doesn't? He was so real, so raw, so human in his relationship to his God. It had to be one of trust. Oh, no, they're after me. Oh, no, people hate me. Oh, no. How many times did he say that? And then his response, but you, O God. But you, O God. You don't look to someone who has let you down when you are in the middle of crisis, if they haven't already proven themselves worthy of that trust. Another hero is Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas, but I think we should have called him Clarifying Thomas, because he had the bravery to ask the questions that we didn't. If you don't tell us where to go, how will we know? And that's where you get, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In the present day, we start hearing from the Holy Spirit because that's, I guess, the communication, the wireless service we have between believers. And so you listen to what other people say about you. I've had people tell me I'm a warrior, an intercessor, Rambo. Go in, kick demon butt, ask questions later. But again, these are people I trust. If you've got somebody speaking into your life, and again, it bears witness with your spirit, trust them. Take it to God if you want to. Take it to God if you need to. Take it to God anyway. But listen to what that's saying. I still struggle. That Catholic youth retreat was 35 years ago, and I still have questions. I still deal with Catholic PTSD when we start reciting the Apostles' Creed. But you know something? I still trust the relationship now, because it is so radically different. And I go back to that beginning, that moment of, yes, Lord. And recently, I read something about the concept of intercessory prayer that absolutely blew my mind, even after 35 years of this. And I'll tell you why. Because it so succinctly summed up the concept of relationship being the basis for prayer in his book, The Beginner's Guide to Intercessory Prayer. Dutch Sheets writes, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have been invited into a loving relationship with God as Father and friend. This relationship is the first priority of intercession, and our journey must begin here.
Thank you, Roseanne. Lastly, we get to hear from Jonathan Matthews. Jonathan is an intern at Theophilus, a student over at Western Seminary, and just a joy to be around. So Jonathan, come on up and close this out.
Whoo, that was fiery. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm very excited to be up here, very honored to have a chance to talk about prayer. When I was asked to come and talk, I think my first response was what many of our first responses was, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe it's not feeling like I'm doing enough. Maybe feeling like maybe a little bit of shame. I don't know. These are things that I feel. Should I be doing more is something for me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me even in that moment when I was walking around the neighborhood with AJ and praying and talking. He said, I'm not asking you to arrive. I'm asking you to strive. You know? And that is what God is saying tonight to us. He's not asking us to arrive with quietness with God. He's asking us to strive, to be quiet, to choose quietness. He's not asking us to arrive with being mindful of our emotions, but to strive. He's not asking us to arrive with believing that God's really there and he, you know, having a relationship with him. No. He's asking us to strive to believe that reality. And so tonight I'm going to be talking a little bit and make it as quick as possible. Is to talk about kingdom-focused prayer. And what kingdom-focused prayer is praying in a way that we invite God's kingdom to come down and invade our space, bring his goodness, bring his grace, bring his own spirit, and make pockets of his good. That comes from Matthew 6, which hopefully I'm not being redundant, but we had a great message a couple months back from Emily on the Lord's Prayer, and then last week we went over it. So Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10 says, "Pray then like this, our Father who's in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, invade our space, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I think the Lord's Prayer is something that can but shouldn't become cliche. Like you said, the PTSD Catholic thing is that when you repeat something so much, sometimes you stop listening to it, right? When you repeat something so much, sometimes you stop listening to it. But I want to talk tonight about how do we pray God's kingdom to manifest in Portland? How do we pray God's kingdom to manifest in my relationships? How do I pray for God's goodness, his kingdom to manifest in my heart? And so the kingdom of God has a long history in the prophets of the Old Testament, stringing together to when Jesus arrived, and what the kingdom of God is God's goodness reigning on earth. Ultimately, Jesus will come and he will ultimately defeat death. He will defeat the enemy and we'll have good then. But when we pray kingdom-focused prayers, God's kingdom can manifest today, right? And so I want to talk quickly about a story. So I worked at a camp in Iowa, because Iowa's awesome. I'm from the Midwest. And this camp was called Wildwood Hills Ranch. We were a camp for at-risk youth. Over a summer, we would have over 1,200 at-risk youth come in. And so for those social workers that Aaron and talked about, you know, what are the things we hear about many days? We hear about death. We hear about family division. We hear about divorce. We hear about sexual abuse. So I remember when I was working at this camp, it was a Christian camp for at-risk youth, and I didn't know what to pray for, right? I did not know what to pray for because I'm seeing all this death, but you, Jesus, you say you're good, but look at all this. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, "Pray for my goodness. Pray for my goodness. Pray for my reign. Pray that people would exercise their right to do good, and that my spirit would enter this space to create good." And so what happened that summer? What happened that summer is that God showed up. I prayed, "God, our Father in heaven, holy are you. You're good. You're great. I pray that your goodness, your grace, your mercy would then manifest here, because it can. Even if we don't feel like his goodness can manifest today, it can." And so I saw people become followers of Jesus. I saw young ladies, young boys talk about some, you know, ways that they were abused, and just saying those words. And then we were able to remove them from situations. And that's an arm of God's kingdom, right? And so as Cam said in the beginning, that sometimes we can live in this pendulum. Over here is, let's pray, but you ain't doing anything. And over here is maybe social action, where you're really doing something. Sure, so in my prayer time, I'm a little systematized in my life. If you don't like systems, you still got to listen to me. So I throughout my week, I have three times that I just intentionally pray. I still try to do it when I'm driving, but then I get road rage and feel guilty again. I have three times where I schedule a time where I pray. And I pray three different things. First, I pray that God's kingdom would come, that his goodness would reign in Portland. So praying for his kingdom. Second, I pray that God's kingdom would reign in my relationships, people at Theophilus, my lovely wife, people at my work, people that I interact with, that God's goodness would reign there. And then lastly, I pray that God's goodness would reign in my own life, that his kingdom would come in my own life so that I would be sanctified or made into the image of Jesus. And that's kind of my practical application, is that God's kingdom can come, not only in Portland, not only in our relationships, but in our own life. And by the end of the story at the camp that I worked at, God's kingdom did come. People were healed. People found Jesus, and people felt his kingdom. And so as a way to wrap it up, as we pray, let's pray that it is God's kingdom and not praying for our own kingdom, that we can be quiet with him, that we can be conscious of our own relationships, that we don't have to have shame, and that we can trust in him, right? Thank you very much.
Thank you guys so much. You are all such a gift to this community, and thank you for sharing with us this evening. We were going to conclude our time with some prayer together, and yet I'm feeling that I don't want to make it rushed or super quick. So this is what we're going to do moving forward. We're actually going to come to the Lord's table, and I'm going to ask that you just take this time to linger and to practice the quiet and the presence that you were invited into this evening personally. And also know that this space, we're going to kind of keep this space protected throughout the evening so that you can linger here in groups and pray corporately together. If you don't have anybody or don't feel safe or comfortable praying with anybody, there'll be people along this wall that you can pray with. And but we're going to keep this space as a place of prayer for the rest of this evening. And those who don't feel like you want to linger, you can head down and partake in dinner. Tonight, we were invited into different forms of prayer. We were invited, given an invitation to be still before God and to listen deeply and to wade through the awkwardness of that listening, to be mindful of what our body, what our emotions are telling us, and to listen to that and know that God speaks in those ways. And know that you don't need to be anything or do anything to enter into God's love and to be a part of that love. Be reminded of that as you pray. And be reminded that together, our prayer life is not just this disconnected, intrinsic activity that only affects me in this immediate place and time, but that our prayers are a part of the kingdom of God with which we are all a part of. And as we pray, ask for God's kingdom to invade us, to invade this space, to come to earth as it is in heaven. And may we participate in that activity together. So I hope that this evening was as encouraging to you as it was to me. Thank you all once again. You are a gift. Desiree, I'm going to invite Desiree. She's going to come on up and lead us into communion together.
Thank you guys again. You are all true gifts to our community. During worship tonight, there was a song that was sung that, even thinking about it again, you know when you have memories that wash over you and you get paralyzed because they're so rich and so good? That happened to me during worship tonight. I couldn't swallow. I couldn't sing anymore. And then I looked up here, and I read, "In Remembrance of Me." And I thought, gosh, God gave us this amazing gift of memory. Sometimes you smell something, sometimes you see something, and it rushes you back to a moment. That's why God gave us these elements. We have this bread and this wine, this juice, these everyday elements. We can't forget about them, right? We always eat, we always drink. And God said, when you do these things, do them in remembrance of me. He gave us memory. He gave us this insane gift to be rushed back to something deep and personal. And gosh, what's like more deep and personal than our Christ laying down his life for us? So as we come down, do this in remembrance of him. Remember, pray, open yourself up, be mindful. There are gluten-free elements at all stations. Everyone is welcome. Just like anyone can pray, any cultures can be spoken to, no matter your language, your economic status. Come, the table is open, it's yours.
You've been listening to the podcast of Theophilus Church. We hope you've been inspired and challenged by what you've heard. For more information, visit our website at theophiluschurch.com.